Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by the faithful traveler, Diana Von Glahn. We're going to be talking about her new special, The Faithful Traveler. See, it's going to be hard for me to say traveler because I'm from Massachusetts, so you're a traveler. And Fatima. Neither of those are pronounced correctly. And I am just was just telling Diana before we went live, my wonderful teenage son decided to cover himself in Axe before going to work for Wendy's, where he's just going to end up smelling like a French fry. And Diana, you very wisely said, girls don't find that Axe smell attractive. They don't. I think they find the French fry attractive, more attractive.
Totally.
So I apologize for my voice while I get acclimated to breathing in air again. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Thank you. You know, you mentioned the Axe. My husband and I were on vacation recently and he bought some of that, like a little baby one. And he was so excited. He came home and he sprayed it. And I was like, oh my God, what is that? And he was like, I liked it at first, but now I need to take another shower.
It's so potent. I can't even explain it. And he says to me, I only spray a little, which I kind of doubt because he's 17.
Yeah.
But even if it's just a little, he's a whole floor below me and I am truly intoxicated by this stuff. Anyway, maybe that's why we have no spiders in our home. He's killed them all with that lovely scent. So we're so thrilled today to spend some time with you, Diana Von Glahn, The Faithful Traveler. And we're going to be talking about in a little bit about your new special. I'm so excited for this one because I'm a Portuguese woman. Fatima is very important to me and to my cultural heritage. See, it's Monday. You can tell it's Monday and Allison hasn't talked much. My husband would disagree with that, but I feel like I haven't talked much. But before we get started, let's pretend that you've never been here before. This is your fourth, I think, visit, which I'm so grateful for. And unless somebody has not heard this story yet, I'm a fangirl. Truly am, wrote Diana, a fan email, letter of the new age many years ago. So I always get a little goofy when Diana is here because I am still a fangirl. So tell us about The Faithful Traveler. What is this wonderful entity?
The Faithful Traveler is a television series that visits sacred sites around the world, Catholic sacred sites, because I am Catholic and I speak to what I know. Mm-hmm. And so we started off visiting Catholic shrines and places of pilgrimage in the United States in our first series. In our second series, we were blessed to visit the Holy Land with select international tours, which was just beyond my wildest dreams. And so that was our second series was on sacred sites in the Holy Land. Our third series was kind of a special. It was a departure for us because we actually followed an event, and that event was the Pope's pilgrimage to the Holy Land in 2014. We were blessed to so close to my heart. We were blessed to go to the home of the recently late ex-president of Israel, Shimon Peres, may God rest his soul. Mm-hmm. And it was just an amazing experience. So our third series was called A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land, in which we explored the history of papal pilgrimages to the Holy Land, which surprisingly only really started with Pope Paul VI in the 1950s. And then after that, we were blessed to travel to Portugal to visit some of the sacred sites. And I say some because that country is just infested with sacred sites. It's amazing. Of course, the most famous being Fatima. And you'll have to excuse my pronunciation of the word. I do come from Mexicans and I can only pronounce Latin words as if Fatima is, that's how they say it in Portugal. And Every now and then for my non-Hispanic friends, I'll you know, say Fatima. But
I have to say that as a Portuguese woman, I do call it Fatima. And but when I say that, most people are like, what are you saying? So we're going to we'll go back and forth. And I think everyone will understand that we're talking about this wonderful place in Portugal. Though my family is not from the mainland. Uh-huh. So I have learned over the years that some of those on the mainland do not consider me a Portuguese person.
Well, where's your family from?
We're from the Azores. So many of the different islands. So I am... technically, I guess, Azorean, but my whole life I consider myself Portuguese, and I do consider myself of Portuguese heritage, and Fatima has always been just one of those bucket list places. Just always heard the story of Our Lady's apparitions there, and I love that you have this hour-long special. We can just, like, because there's lots of movies and videos out that show us the story, but not so much the location and the current location, and kind of bringing those two beautiful things together, the story, but also the pilgrimage, the location, the place that, you know, that we can go and encounter our Blessed Mother. But I also, like, just to step back for a second, I do love that you started the Faithful Traveler in the United States, which was, I think, part of my my fangirl letter to you, was that I had no idea that our own country had places of pilgrimage or that had any significance. I always thought I had to travel outside of the United States to encounter my Catholic faith. So what drew you to start in the United States? What was the draw there?
Oh, there were a number of reasons why we decided to start in the U.S. You know, I, like you, recognize that when people think of going on pilgrimage, they always think they have to go to Israel or Rome. Well, and of course, I'm speaking about Catholics. You know, I mean, there are many types of pilgrimage. People make pilgrimage to all sorts of places, Graceland being one of the secular places, you know. but, you know, we as Catholics like to go visit places where saints lived and died, and where holy things happened, where miracles happened. And of course, the holiest of all places being the Holy Land, where our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born and raised and died and resurrected from the dead, and where the Blessed Mother lived and where the disciples lived. And then, of course, where, you know, the Old Testament took place. And so, but, you know, when we started the Faithful Traveler, and this was back in 2003, shortly after David and I got married, David being my husband, obviously, we had been watching a lot of the Travel Channel, and we had been flicking back and forth to EWTN, which was the only Catholic network on regular TV that we could watch at the time. And, we were excited by the travel series on the Travel Channel. And at that time, they actually showed shows about travel. Now they just focus on eating gross things, which is depressing. But
yeah, I agree with that.
But the thing is that the Travel Channel, whenever they would go, the very few times that any of the shows would go to a Catholic site, they went over it very quickly. They didn't really explain, you know, the history. And if they did, they kind of talked about Catholics like we were crazy, you know.
We kind of are sometimes.
And I totally get that, you know. Hi, this is the site of a Eucharistic miracle. You know, it's hard to understand. But I think that nobody obviously ever took the time to explain it. Now, granted, the few times that we would turn on like EWTN, there would be shows like, you know, Bob and Penny Lord would visit sacred sites. And, you know, they were great. And of course, they had a huge following. They have a huge following. May God rest their souls as well. Yeah. But, you know, they catered to an audience that liked things that were slower and more sedate than my tastes. And, you know, not to denigrate their work, because obviously their work was amazing, but, you know, everybody has a different taste. And we tended to be, you know, being of a younger generation, we wanted things with a little movement, and we wanted things to be exciting and, you know, to share our faith in an exciting way. So we happened to be going to France on our honeymoon, and we decided to pretend like we were filming a show. And then when we came back, we were like, you know what, let's do this. And at that time, it we had to decide, you know, what were the expenses. And of course, filming in our backyard was less expensive than traveling abroad. And so we started filming in our area. We're in the Philadelphia area. And so we basically drove everywhere to film. We didn't stay overnight unless we were given places to stay for free. And because we paid for the whole thing, you know, we paid for the show and we shot it basically on the cheap. You know, when Father Robert Barron says that he worked on a shoestring budget of $3 million, I laugh. And I continue. He said that a few years ago. I'm still laughing because, you know, what I could do with $3 million and what I'd love to show him a real shoestring budget, you know. But funny. Anyways, we shot very, very cheaply. And when our second series, you know, everybody wanted more. EWTN wanted more, but nobody wanted to pay for it. So we thought that we were going to finish with just one series. And then we were contacted by the owner of Select International Tours, Adita Krunick, who had just been hired to take the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to the Holy Land with Cardinal Regali. And she asked us if we would film it. And then that just kind of went from there, you know. Wow. That series led to the Papal series, which was sponsored by the Israel Ministry of Tourism and the Jordan Tourism Board. And then Edita, who is now a very good friend, you know, got a bunch of her friends who own hotels and places in Portugal to bring us out there. And, nice. And so we were sponsored by them. So The Faithful Traveler in Fatima is the first episode. It is kind of a special episode because it's an hour long, which is not normal for us. And, you know, like you said, it tells both the history of the apparitions and then it explores the actual site. You know, when I first started producing the show, I thought, gosh, this is going to be really long. And I thought, is there a way that I could get away with not telling the story of the apparitions? But like you can't. Because you can't assume that everybody knows the story. And so it was hard for us to do it because obviously I can't hire little actors to be the kids from Fatima and I can't hire somebody to be Mary. I just had to kind of do what I could with what I had. So I did that. And then, of course, we showed, you know, what's at the shrine. And the shrine is amazing. It's huge. There's a lot to see and it's beautiful. And of course, you know, this year they're starting to
It is. Yep. We were talking with Diana Von Glahn. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Diana Von Glahn. She is the Faithful Traveler, and she is the creator of the Faithful Traveler series. We're talking about the earlier series that she did, and I fell in love with, especially the one that was in the United States. And what was the name of that, Diana?
The Faithful Traveler in the United States.
Wow.
Well, you know, we didn't know if we would have a second series. So we actually just called it The Faithful Traveler. And then after a while, I think I added The Faithful Traveler on the East Coast, which, you know, we just scratched the surface of the East Coast.
Yeah. And are those still available? I purchased them many years ago. Are they still out there?
We are selling them on our website, thefaithfultraveler.com. I think I might have like 10 DVDs left, and I don't think I'm going to be reproducing them. So if you want one, now's the time to get it.
Scoop it up. You will be so happy you did it. It's one of my favorite go-tos. And I still have like the list I'm going to go to. I think I told you last time we spoke that I purposely made a retreat in Baltimore so I could go to the places that you covered.
That's awesome.
It was a great plan. However, never happened because it's impossible to actually go someplace and work and be a tourist at the same time.
Right, right, right.
So I didn't leave myself enough time. But next, I'm going to try. And one of these days, I'm going to go to Baltimore and go to Red Sox game and Camden Yard and then go to all these wonderful places in Philly. Now, there's one that's closing. Is that was in Philly or was that Baltimore? Actually, I just said Baltimore. I meant Yeah, because you went to Baltimore and you went to Philadelphia. So, of course, my little brain is, I know that that Camden Yard's in Baltimore.
The St. Catherine Drexel Shrine is closing in Philadelphia.
Oh, I'm so sad about that.
It's very sad. It is very sad. I mean, it's one of the reasons why we wanted to create the show, too, to just kind of raise awareness of, you know, that, hey, we have these shrines here in the United States. And the remarkable thing about the St. Catherine Drexel Shrine is that it has the actual body of a saint. One of the saints of the United States, which, you know, how many do we have? Maybe a handful. But, you know, the sad thing is that nothing... You know, every one of these places has bills to pay. Yeah. And without the help from visitors, they cannot pay those bills. And so, you know, at the end of the day, if they can't pay their bills, they're going to have to close down. And that's what's happening here. So
do you know how much longer we have before it's gone?
No, I think it's going to close down sometime next year, but I'm not quite sure when. You know, you can obviously visit the website to find out more information. So if you have the chance, if you are in Philadelphia, go visit her. Once the shrine closes, they're actually moving St. Catherine Drexel's body to the Cathedral Basilica in Philadelphia, which is, you know, it's great. And I mean, you know, at the end of the day, these places are just buildings and, you know, our faith is in God. But still, you know, if we want to have something pretty to recognize our heritage, our Catholic heritage, we need to support it.
Absolutely.
And if we don't support it, then it's going to go away and then we won't have anything nice. So,
and it's, you know, I get all upset when like a local restaurant closes or a store that I liked. And my husband will say, when was the last time you were there?
Yeah.
Good point. Like I want it there when I want it, but if I don't support it and don't patronize it, it's not going to be there. So great point. Yeah, exactly. And I will definitely have the link up for this for St. Catherine Drexel Shrine. Hopefully, God willing, can get there in the next year because it's on the bucket list.
Yeah.
So our time today is to talk about the faithful traveler in Fatima. And it's so exciting because, again, you brought together both the story and the places. So let's start with the story. We were saying just before the break that, of course, you didn't have the budget to have people acting out the story. So how did you share the story of Fatima?
Well, using historical photographs. I mean, we are blessed to have actual pictures of the three little, the shepherds or the pastorinhos, as they call them in Portuguese, Lucia Santos and Francisco and Jacinta Marto, who were her cousins. And so we actually have photographs of these kids. I love them. I mean, obviously we have a very few photographs and I think the photographs only were taken after they started becoming famous because, you know, back then it's not like everybody had a camera.
And Jacinta and Francisco did not live very long past the...
No. So one of the remarkable things and one of the reasons why we wanted to get this episode out sooner than the rest of the series is that we are now in the centenary anniversary, the 100-year anniversary of the apparitions at Fatima. So the apparition started in 1916 with an angel who visited, the angel of Portugal, who visited the three children as they were guarding their sheep. And he met them three times and he basically taught them how to pray in preparation for what would happen later on in May of 1917 when they met the Mother of God, the Virgin Mary. And she met them at the Cova da Iria, which was a field where they grazed their sheep. Mm-hmm. And when she met them, she asked them if they would return every month on the 13th of the month until October. So from May until October on the 13th of every month, with one exception, they met the Mother of God. And every time she basically told them the same thing. She told them to pray. She told them to make reparation for sin, for the sins of others. And she told them to pray for the conversion of souls. On a few occasions, one occasion she told them a lot of secrets. One of the things that she told them refers to what you were just talking about. That she told them that Jacinta and Francisco would die and go to heaven soon. And she said to Lucia that God wanted her to remain on Earth a little longer. And I love
me too.
I love that,
I'm so
that
glad
line.
You mentioned that. Because she lives to be what, 97?
She lived to be 97. So like this is your concept of what time is in God's eyes. A little longer is like 90 years. You know, I think she was 10 or 11 when she told her that. So that was like 80 years later. That's a little longer.
A little longer.
I mean, I could just imagine Lucia being like, now, do I get to go to heaven now? You know, but no, just a little longer. So, so Lucia or Jacinta and Francisco died the next year. And they both died of an influenza epidemic. So get your flu shots, everybody.
No kidding. Going next week.
Yeah, right. They died from the flu. And I mean, they were poor little, you know, kids. And of course, you know, God wanted them to die. I mean, it was their time.
One of my other favorite lines is that they asked, would we go to heaven? And she said, Francisco will go, but he needs to do lots of beads.
You know, it's interesting. I've asked a lot of people about that. Like, what is it that Francisco could have done? Because, you know, when they met the Virgin Mary, and actually when they met the angel, Francisco could see everything that was happening, but he could not hear what was being said. He could not hear the Virgin Mary speak. He could not hear the angel speak, but he could see. And
I did not know that.
A lot of people wonder, like, what is it that Francisco could have done to have merited that kind of disappointing, you know, result? Of course, nobody knows. But I think that, you know, it might have just been that God wanted him to offer that aspect up a little bit more. One of the things about Francisco is that he was a very compassionate soul, and he couldn't wait to get to heaven to console Jesus, to console God. That was his biggest thing is, you know, he said, I don't care. I will pray all the rosaries in the world if I could just get to heaven and console our Lord. So he was just such a loving little boy. It just breaks my heart. But, you know, he's in heaven now. So
yeah. So now he can console Jesus and us.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's so neat.
Yeah. So we used photographs. You know, we obviously used a book. There's a book called Fatima in Lucia's Words that I recommend anybody who has any interest in Fatima read. That is the Bible on Fatima. There is no reason to read any other book on Fatima. I mean, it's basically written by Lucia. Lucia is how you pronounce her name. That's a great book to read. It's available in English, and she tells the story. There's also a second version where she continues to tell a little bit more details of her life as a child and her life after the apparitions. But those are really fantastic books to read on Fatima.
Now, the Pauline Books and Media has a wonderful one, too. It has the picture of the three shepherd children on it. And I'm going to have the link to both of those, because that one was the one that introduced me. And I can't think of the name of it. I'm trying to Google it and it's not working. I'll find it. We have 2 minutes, so I'll check on the break, because it's a really wonderfully done book. And it gave the backstory of the parents, which is maybe why I was so drawn to it. There's like a little bit more to it, what's going on, not just with the children, but with their families as well.
Yeah, there's a lot out there about Fatima. I mean, of course, I was introduced to Fatima as a child, having watched the movie The Day the Sun Danced? The old movie with the, you know, and it was really cheesy and it was not entirely factually true. You know, there were characters that were created that never existed. But the great thing about it is it presents the apparitions in such a beautiful way that, you know, you can overlook the pretend characters.
Yeah, I think I saw The 13th Day maybe. Oh, yeah. Been the same kind of very dark and dismal, but yeah, it really makes brings it kind of to life, I suppose. That's what video is supposed to do. We're talking this morning with Diana von Glahn. She is the Faithful Traveler, and we're talking about her new series special, The Faithful Traveler in Fatima. When we come back from these messages, we're going to pick up and talk a little bit more about what is featured in this new special. So much to investigate in Fatima. Again, my bucket list, hoping to get there someday, very soon. If you have any questions for Diana, you are welcome to text them in at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back. Oh,
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am joined this morning by Diana Von Glant. She is the Faithful Traveler, and we're talking about her new special, The Faithful Traveler in Fatima. And when will this be airing?
Where? It actually when and where, huh? Yeah. If you visit our website, thefaithfultraveler.com, you can actually see we have a grid up there. It started broadcasting already, but right now, NetTV is going to start broadcasting October 7th. EWTN, it's going to be on October 13th and 14th. KNXT, Catholic TV in California, is going to be on the 10th and 11th. And then Catholic TV is going to be running it October, November, December, January, and February. So nice. There are lots of opportunities to watch, but go to our website, thefaithfultraveler.com. We are posting times and dates there as we get them. So not everybody, we're trying to get them to tell us when they're going to broadcast so we can pass it on. So that's the best place to go. And then, you can watch as you can.
And you can always set your DVR, which is what I will do.
Yes, totally.
Because I happen to be in I think Catholic TV is obviously more than just in the Boston area, but I happen to be in the hub. So we have it as part of our cable package. I'm really so happy for that. So I can set my DVR and
that's
watch
awesome.
It again and again, like I did with the Papal Pilgrimage series.
Yeah.
That was fun. I just love that.
And I'm not sure we're coming out with DVDs. I don't know. So if you want to save it. Now DVR it because that's...
Yeah, it doesn't stay forever. I did learn that the hard way.
Well, you can set it so that it doesn't delete until you delete it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Well, there you go. And we learn another thing about Allison and her technological challenges.
Can you program your VCR, Allison?
No, I never could. Never. I used to miss, just go back for the 80s. You know how many days I'd come home all excited to watch whatever it was? It was probably Friends or some show that I had set the DVR for, and I end up watching like Masterpiece Theater.
Oh, nice.
Like, really? Like, this isn't complicated, but I never could figure it out. My watch goes off at odd times. My phone. Yeah. Technology. And the saddest part of this whole thing is that I have a degree from Lesley University in technology and education.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You do them proud.
Yes, I do. I'm a proud graduate. I'm sure they... I'm sure I'm on their folder. Can we get a flyer about your technology program? Yes, let me. Anyway, so is the 1 hour special all that's coming out of the Fatima? Is there more or?
There's only one episode on Fatima. Mm-hmm. At some point in 2017, we will be releasing the remainder of the series focusing on the sacred sites, some of the sacred sites mm-hmm. in Portugal. and during that series, we'll be visiting the sacred sites in Lisbon, which include the church that was built on top of the house where St. Anthony of Padua was born, or as the Portuguese call him, St. Anthony of Lisbon, because he was born in Lisbon, but he died in Padua.
So. And they stole him.
Yeah, the Portuguese are very upset about that. I think we're going to have, I'm not really sure how many episodes because there's so many places to visit. Lisbon, we go to Santarém, which is where there is a Eucharistic miracle, and Santarém is in between Lisbon and Fatima. And then we visit some of the UNESCO World Heritage sites that are used to be convents. There's one at Batalha. There's one at Alcobaça. There's the Mosteiro de dos Jerónimos in Lisbon. There are some amazing architectural and historical sites throughout the country. We go up to Porto. We go to Braga, where there's a beautiful, just amazing site dedicated to the Blessed Mother. There's so much in Portugal, and we just visited some of the places. I mean, I would love to live in Portugal. It's so amazing. And the food is amazing too. We talk a little bit about the food there. One of my favorite places to visit was, a place called Pastéis de Belén, which we've talked about on this show before.
But I think it deserves being talked about again because it makes my mouth water just saying the name of it.
Well, so the story behind Pastéis de Belén is it's basically cakes from Bethlehem is the literal translation. And Pastéis de Belén is a small restaurant located right next to the Mosteiro dos Jerónimos, which used to be a Hieronymite monastery. Hieronymite getting its name from St. Jerome. So back in the day, this ginormous, and I mean, this place is huge. It was, you know, it was overrun with monks. And, you know, monks in the course of cleaning and washing and ironing their habits, they needed egg whites to starch their clothing, their habits. And so, of course, we're Catholics. We don't waste. So you use a lot of egg whites and you're left with a bunch of yolks. What are you going to do with yolks? Well, these guys had the bright idea of making custard cakes because egg whites are used in custard. And so they made these little baby cakes and they called them Pastéis de Belém. Now, Belém is the Portuguese word for Bethlehem. And that neighborhood is called Belém. They named it after, obviously, Bethlehem. They dedicated it to the Holy Family the Nativity. And so at some point, the villains in Portugal drove out all of the religious orders, including the Hieronymites. And when they were leaving, they gave their recipe for the pastéis to a family who has been selling them ever since.
Wow. Now, love that story.
Yeah.
This is what I love the most about The Faithful Traveler is the backstories. Go on.
Yeah. Cool thing about the pastéis is it's kind of like champagne where you can only use the name if you are actually that place. So you can't name champagne if it's made out of the Champagne region. Therefore, you cannot name a custard cake in Portugal a Pastéis de Belém unless it's theirs. Everybody else calls it a Pastéis de Nata, which is custard cake, literally. And so you'll have a lot of copycats, but you know, the Pastéis de Belém is the best place to get them. So yeah.
Yep. And now, I mean, I can't have dairy and or gluten, but let me tell you, I would suffer for those.
Offer it up,
I would totally offer it up. I'd be like, we're not traveling tomorrow. TMI, but truly, I would just spend my life there. That just sounds so delicious.
Oh. Well, seriously, we've been to Portugal twice. The first time that we went was in... I don't even remember the years, 2014. And then we went back in 2015. And 2014 was when we were introduced to the pastéis from our tour guide. And then, and this was when we were filming. Mm-hmm. We went back on our own and we actually stayed at a hotel right next to the monastery on purpose because we wanted to eat every meal at the Pastéis de Belém.
I love it.
We pretty much did. It was so good.
That is fabulous.
So,
That's what I love. Love that about the Faithful Traveler, the series, all of the different places that you visit, you really bring in a great richness. Like you interview people who are not just your historians or your theologians, but real people. And you bring in this really humanness to these places. And I love that. I love the richness of the way you tell a story. I love that you smile and laugh. And I'm still, my favorite all time is in when you're, was that the Holy Land one when you said, this is the Holy Land and this is a camel. I'm sorry, but it's just the funniest intro ever.
You know, when I did that, it was so funny. I was like, I just ruined the shot. But then when I was editing, I was like, this is funny. I think this is funny. I'm glad everybody else thought it was funny. You know, everybody else might have been like, ugh, stupid girl.
No. I mean, that's pretty sad from the whole thing. That's what I remember.
I have had a lot of people quote that to me, which is kind of crazy.
It is. You know, it's so funny how you think the one thing that you're saying that you shouldn't be is what people...
Well, that's one of the things, you know, about television is, and especially like I've been hearing a lot people talking about millennials and how, you know, people like authenticity. Mm-hmm. They like realness and, you know, realness is not scripted. Realness is just kind of, if you are goofy, you are goofy on TV, you are goofy off of TV, you know, and people either like you or they don't. I'm sure there are people out there who think my show is horrible and that's fine. They can watch something else, you know, like that's the whole point is like there are many channels and many television shows and you know you have your choice, but I guess some people appreciate our take on on our Catholic history and our Catholic. I mean, there's so much. There are so many amazing things about our faith, you know, that I find fascinating. And so when I create the show, I talk to the people who have the answers to the questions that I ask. One of the people that we interview in the Fatima episode is the postulator, the vice postulator for the canonization of Jacinta, Blessed Jacinta and Francisco Marto.
And actually, we will talk about that when we come back from these messages, because we're actually at the end of this segment. And I'm sure this is a story that we're going to want to hear the whole thing of. So, and I love cliffhangers. It's one of the things that works in television and in radio. But before I forget and we go to the end of the segment, Hurricane Matthew is, as many know, on its way to some very small countries, Cuba, Jamaica, and especially Haiti, where I have friends. There are missionaries there. My God baby is there. His name is Therese, and she just had her feast day. So just want to ask everybody to keep those people in our prayers. You know, sometimes we forget, like I live in the Northeast and we have hurricanes all the time, but I forget that I live in a home that can withstand those winds, and I'm far enough away from the ocean where I can visit on a day, but I don't have to worry about the devastating effect of it. So please keep all of those in your prayers today, especially if you keep the Albert and the Life Teen missions in your prayers, and my little Therese. Thank you. I appreciate that. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Diana von Glahn, the faithful traveler. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I want to direct your attention. I almost forgot. I've mentioned it all show. To go to breadboxmedia.com. If you like A Seeking Heart, if you want to help support and keep me on the air, I invite you over to breadboxmedia.com. Find Friend of the Show for just $10 or more a month. You become a premium member, and that gives you a choice of a prayer scroll or a rosary bracelet, extra entries in every giveaway, and our once a month Google Hangout, which was really fun this month. So one of our listeners, we need to get her better internet. One of our friends of the show, we need to give her better internet. It was like in and out, and it was sad. I wanted her there for the whole time. So there's lots of great things, and I'm always grateful, and I pray for you every single day. I pray for you even if you're not a friend of the show. If you ever need a prayer request, you know, just send me a message, allison@breadboxmedia.com. I am your prayer warrior. But if you'd like to become a friend of the show, breadboxmedia.com for more information. And we're talking this morning with Diana von Glahn, the faithful traveler. We're talking about her new special, The Faithful Traveler in Fatima. If you want to know showtimes, go to thefaithfultraveler.com. And I cut you off as you were sharing one of the interviews you did was with the vice postulator of Jacinta's
and Francisco's, of their canonization cause. Her name is Sister Angela Coelho de Fatima, and she is awesome. We sat down with her. They just recently opened a new little kind of museum called the Casa das Candaias, which is hard to say. The Casa das Candaias, which is the castle, the home of candles. And we interviewed her there. It's like a little museum off of the main site of Fatima, where they have some of the first and second degree relics of the of Jacinta, Blessed Jacinta and Francisco. The concept behind the House of Candles is that Jacinta and Francisco were like little candles bringing Our Lady's light to the world. It's really pretty. I think it's based off of something that Pope St. John Paul II said during their beatification ceremony. And we mention it in the show. I don't remember the exact quote right now.
Is that with the candles of Copla? you know, me and how I pronounce stuff. But there's a section in the series of Candles in...
Oh, in the Covet, yes. Very frequently... Different? It's probably based off of that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, there are so many different things. You know, we're Catholics. We're lighting candles all the time.
Yes, we
you
are.
Know? And the concept being that a candle is meant to be our prayer that we leave. Mm-hmm. And the smoke rises up to God as our prayers are rising up to God. And so when we go to these sacred sites, we light a candle. Sometimes we light the big, ginormous candles because we have really big prayers and we don't want it to stop, you know. And, you know, I mean, like I was just at the National Shrine of Divine Mercy in Stockbridge and I lit four big old, you know, Mondo candles because I was like, this is for everybody. But like, so that's one of the things. And we talk about it in the series. But, you know, the other thing is that, you know, we are meant to be lights, you know, we're meant to bring Christ's light out to the world. And so candles represent the light. The light represents, you know, the truth of the faith so yeah. And one of the things that they do at Fatima is they have a candlelight rosary procession. Mm-hmm. Often the night before the mass celebration of the 13th between May and October. Every 13th between May and October, they have huge celebrations where people come from around the world. And in 2017, being the 100th anniversary of the apparitions, it is going to be like ridiculously, everybody's going to be there. So
I can't even fathom.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, they're really excited. They've been preparing for quite some time, but it's going to be a great year to go to Fatima. So if you get the chance, definitely go.
Definitely. What? So just on a personal note, you were in Stockbridge, which is like about an hour and a half away from me. Just saying,
what?
Next time you go, you better let me know you're there.
Oh, I wish I knew. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was such a fluke, you know, like I had been wanting to go for a really long time and I have a friend who used to work at the St. Rita Shrine, and she was like, I'm going to Stockbridge on Wednesday. Do you want to come with? And I was like, yeah, how many days are you going to be up there? Like, I have work to do. And she was like, we're just going up for the day and coming back. I was like, seriously? As long as I'm not driving? Yeah. So wow. We actually did that. We drove up. It was like 5 hours from Philadelphia. And we got to go to Mass and pray the Divine Mercy Shrine, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And it was beautiful. And I prayed for, you know, all of everybody who watches The Faithful Traveler. And I prayed for you, Allison. So, you know, everybody, it was just a beautiful shrine.
It
so,
is.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to go, it is an incredible experience.
Yeah.
So back to the Faithful Traveler in Fatima. And I know I'm saying it the old Fatima. Can't help myself. So let's look at just some of the places you went and the things that you talked about as we wrap up our time together. So what is the altar of the world?
Well, that's what they call Fatima, the altar of the world, because they're constantly praying for the reparation of sins. You know, they're continuing on the prayers that the Blessed Mother asked the three Pashtuninos to pray. They're praying for the reparation of sinners. They're making reparative prayers. They're praying for the conversion of hearts. And prayer is going nonstop at Fatima. So that's what people call it, the altar of the world.
What an amazing, someday, I hope.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing at Fatima is the Cova, which is where the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to the three children. When she appeared to the three children 100 years ago, it was a field with rocks and trees. Today, it is covered over in asphalt. I think there's one tree. But yeah, like my sister was like, can you bring me some dirt from the Cova? I'm like, yeah, the Cova doesn't exist anymore. So yeah. Like, you know, so if you're looking to go and see the Cova, you know, it's changed.
So there's just, is it a parking lot? Is there a shrine? Like what is there?
It's an esplanade. It's a square, basically. Uh-huh. And at one end of the square is the old basilica dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary, which is where the three Pashtuninos have been buried. And that recently finished undergoing a restoration. Mm-hmm. So it's nice and clean and beautiful for the 100th anniversary. And so that's, if you look, like the north end is that. And then at the south end is the is another basilica that was built because Pope St. John Paul II asked for it to be built. It's huge. It's not very pretty. It's not really my style, and you'll see it in the show. It's very modern, but primarily it's built to house pilgrims. You know, there are a lot of people can't stand outside all day and night, and a lot of times it rains in Fatima. We were there in October 2 years, and it rained nonstop. So, you know, some people there, they have more delicate conditions and they don't really want to stand out in the rain. So they go into this basilica and it's very pretty. And then in on the left side is the Capellina, which is the little chapel. The Capellina was built on top of the site where the Virgin Mary appeared to the three children. Those of you who know the story, she appeared standing above a small holm oak tree. That tree no longer exists because everybody took it apart for relics. There is, however, another holm oak tree standing next to the Capellina, so you could see what it would have looked like, although it was a baby when the Virgin Mary kind of hovered above it. And then, you know, all alongside are hotels and shops, and you know, there is a piece of the Berlin Wall, which is along one of the sides of the cova, and that is, you know, recognizing do we need time?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
So that's recognizing the Virgin Mary's you know, the fact that she talked a lot about Russia and communism and how, you know, we needed to pray for their conversion. Otherwise they would spread their errors around the world. And so, when the communist era ended in Russia, somebody had the foresight to save a part of the wall and bring it over to Fatima, which is awesome.
That is so cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff. There's also, the way of the Pastorinhos, which is the way that the Pastorinhos would walk, from their home in, Valinhos or yeah, no, they're from Aljustrel. They would walk from Aljustrel, through, the, you know, the rocks and the hills, grazing their sheep to the cova. And that is a way that there are also stations of the cross that way. People pray, along that way is a site of where they met the angel of Portugal. Mm-hmm. Which is called the Loca do Cabeço. And then there's also a site in Valinhos, which is just a little place along the way where they met the Virgin Mary. I think it was in August, where they were prevented from meeting her because the villainous mayor of the nearby city kidnapped the kids and tried to keep them from visiting the lady. If you watch the movie or read the book, you know the story.
Well, I will have links to all of that and much more, including thefaithfultraveler.com, so you can find where it is being aired and your location. And as always, you can always contact your local Catholic TV station or network if they're not showing it, and just let them know you'd be interested in seeing it, and they can make that happen. Diana, it has, as always, been a pleasure to spend some time with you. What is your hope for people who watch The Faithful Traveler in Fatima?
The Blessed Mother's message at Fatima resounds to this day. And if anything, I would hope that people would hear what she has to say and take it to heart. She asked us to pray the rosary every day. Are we doing it? You know, I don't. I should. But, you know, hearts continue to need conversion. And, you know, our Lord needs reparative prayers. And I think we need to kind of take that message to heart on the 100th anniversary of it having been said. And I hope that this episode encourages people to visit. And if they can't, to at least take the message to heart and continue the message that Our Lady gave us.
We could take the armchair pilgrimage, which I've become very, very good at, thanks to The Faithful Traveler. Diana von Glahn has been my guest today. Diana, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And my pleasure. We will be back on Wednesday with a new show, From Humdrum to Holy, from Father Bloom. Don't want to miss that. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.